Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm hoping this morning to be joined by Mary Linenberg. We're trying to get her on Skype. You know, Allison, last minute Sally thought I had her already on my Skype, so just came up, tried to connect with her, and we're having some trouble. So we're just going to chit-chat. I know you want to hear Mary, so don't I. Mary Linenberg is just a total rock star, just one of those people that you just can't even believe that the Lord allowed you to get to know. Mary was here probably now a year ago, sharing the story about her daughter, Courtney. Courtney was around 5 weeks old, I believe. She started to have seizures, unknown reasons, ended up never being able to speak. And, part of Mary's witness is just how Courtney could express incredible love without words. And I can't wait to, we will get Mary on, I promise. We will get Mary on either by phone or by Skype. At some point this morning, we will have Mary on very quickly. And then sadly, in December 27th, 2000, and I want to say 15 or 16, I'm sorry. I knew the date, December 27th, but I'm terrible at years. But last year or the year before, Courtney went on to heaven. She's now Mary's greatest intercessor. This is Mary and her family's greatest intercessor. And when Mary was here last, she was joking about how Courtney is really good with car problems. And I have to share that I have to agree with her. Right after Courtney passed away, we were having trouble with our car, and I was told it was going to cost me $1,000 to fix my car. No one could seem to figure out what was wrong. So they kind of just assumed that I needed a whole new computer for my car. That was what they finally came to the conclusion that was wrong with it, that I needed a complete computer because, well, why would my computer in my car work any better than the computer in my home? So I brought it to a mechanic and I prayed, and he's like, I'm getting the machine. I'll be able to do this for like half the price the dealership would. They just have to hold on and wait. Long story short, he wasn't able to get to it. I had to bring it to a dealer that he recommended. And I kept praying to Courtney because Mary had said, like, she's really good with car problems. She's really good with car problems. And I thought, well, this is a car problem and I could really use a good intercessor. So I started to pray and ask Courtney for her help with our car problem. And ended up bringing it to this dealership. I'm usually very wary of dealerships. I don't know about you, but I get very wary, especially of the service department. I know nothing about cars, and I get very worried that, you know, they're just going to take me for a ride. And it's so easy for them to do because I have no idea. They could tell me I needed a new Wickamaguacket Dukupta, and I'd be like, all right, I need that. I'm making up words. No, Dr. Seuss, I am not. Totally not Dr. Seuss. So they took it and they looked into it, and we get a call a little bit later and they said, well, we found your problem and it's not your computer. You just had a snarl of wires that was hard to get to that nobody could see. A couple things got disconnected. $400 and not $1,500. So Courtney is a great intercessor and she is very good with cars. Is that Mary Linenberg now here on the line?
It is.
Good morning,
it is
Mary.
Indeed.
It's so, I was just telling the car story about how Courtney is the great intercessor for cars, and she saved me about $900. So thanks for that.
You're so welcome. That's my girl. She comes in on that, mercy train and just helps everybody out.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge help. I remember you saying that last time you were on, that, you know, she was good intercessor for car problems. So welcome to the show, car Mary Linenberg. What was the other thing? Cars and?
And septic sewage systems. She's very good with those too.
Good to know. Good to know. I'm sure being a homeowner, I'll have that one eventually. So sorry about the Skype problems. We'll work on that during the commercial. We'll have 3 minutes to get you in a clearer channel over on Skype. But in the meantime, please reintroduce yourself to us.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. My name is Mary Linenberg. I blog now. I used to blog at Passionate Perseverance, and now I've brought everything under www.marylinenberg.com. So everything's found in one place now. I'm a wife. I'm a mother. My son, Jonathan, is now 27, and our daughter, Courtney, has been home in heaven for 2 years now. So after she passed away, I went into... Gosh, I had a couple different jobs, but I ended up working for the church for a year and as the director of liturgy for our parish. And then after a year, God sort of really spoke to my heart, and now I'm in full-time ministry, and I speak and I write all over the United States, and that's where I'm at today.
Very exciting. No, I was introducing you before you came on, and if you were able to listen, but I was saying that Courtney had died December 27th, correct? And
yeah,
I knew it was 2015, but it just didn't seem
2014. December 27th, 2014.
Oh my gosh!
It's been 2 years.
Wow.
Yep, it's been 2 years since she passed, and then this past December, on the same day, 2 years later, her grandfather passed away.
Oh, on the same day. That's incredible.
On the same day, yeah, and that was very unexpected, and we just all sort of felt that Courtney was walking her grandpa home to Jesus, so it ended up being quite a special memorial for her.
That's incredible. You can't ignore that stuff as a godsendance. Like, that's just happenstance. That's God at work in a total moment of mercy. That's incredible. We're going to talk a lot about your new writing, what you're speaking on, but I saw that we were in the same location, though I don't know how we didn't find each other in 650,000 people, but you were in
DC
this weekend. Just a few people. No big deal. 650,000 people, and I'm looking for Mary Linenberg. Though if I had seen your sign, if I had known what sign you were holding, I probably could have found you. So tell us about your experience with the March for Life in D.C. this weekend.
Well, I have been marching. I grew up here in the D.C. area, so I have been marching since 1974.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea.
I think I've missed maybe 3 or 4 years in there when Courtney was not doing particularly well. But it's just something my mom would gather us. I'm one of eight. My mom would gather us all up, and we'd head down to the march.
Incredible.
So this year, I marched with my mom. She's 75. And I gave her a call, and I said, Mom, you know, she didn't go last year because of all the snow.
Yeah.
And I said, you want to go to the march with me? And she goes, well, you know, I haven't done that in a while. So we took the Metro in, and we were actually there to hear a lot of the speeches. Usually when we would come with Courtney, we'd sort of time it so we weren't there for a lot of the speeches because she could only handle so much time in her wheelchair and in the cold, being always in January. So we went and we heard the speeches, which was great. Of course, this year, we had Vice President Mike Pence out there saying life is winning again, which is always nice to hear.
Yes.
And then, of course, yesterday we heard who the president has nominated to the Supreme Court. So that was good news for life. But it was really fascinating because we came upon this group of counter-protesters. There were two groups. Well, one was marching with us, and they were Gays for Life, and they had a big rainbow flag with a baby in the middle of it. And then another one that was sort of protesting on the side was some pro-choice feminist group. And so my mother has never met a stranger in her life. And so she, you know, makes a beeline and enters into conversation with perfect strangers, some of whom have no... You know, they don't agree with you. They really just want to yell at you. And she just kind of gets in the mix for about 5 minutes, chatting with them, asking them, you know, why, and, but, you know, we're not here to be divisive. We're here to just speak for the voiceless, those that have no one to protect them. So that was interesting, you know, watching my mom do this.
Wow.
And my mom has a lot of experience in this area because 2 or 3 years ago, she was arrested in a pro-life event. She knelt down to pray in front of Speaker Boehner's office, then Speaker of the House Boehner's office. And she and about 30 others were arrested for the day for blocking. They said they were blocking the entrance, which they weren't, but they were praying. And so,
oh my,
you know,
gosh.
She walks the walk and talks the talk.
So she's a badass. You got a badass mom there.
Is always interesting.
Wow. Yeah. She's that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, she's the mother of eight, and she has always had a heart for women who are in difficult situations and who didn't have the support of family and so forth when they find themselves with an unplanned pregnancy or in a relationship that's not a good one where there might be abuse of some kind. So she's always very much had a heart for that. But she was also in the Navy in the 1960s when there weren't a lot of women, especially as officers. So the woman literally knows how to march. Like, she left me in the dust about 7 times. You know?
Well, now I know where you get, like, all your chutzpah from.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, really, woman? I mean, slow it down, would you? Okay. We hang out for a bit. So, yeah.
This was my first.
And then.
Yeah. Well, we're going to actually. I'm going to.
She had 8 kids. And, yep. And she said to them, well, when you love your husband, you name your love, which is beautiful. Aww. It's a sentiment that she had heard from a good deacon friend of ours here in the Diocese of Arlington. Deacon Marks has always said that. And so then she goes on to tell him how hot and attractive my father was, and that made it easier. And I'm just like,
oh, Mary, I got to hold you. I got to hold you on for a second. We're going to commercial.
Sure.
We're talking with Mary Linneberg this morning, and you're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We have Mary Linneberg here today, and happily we have her on Skype now, so she's nice and clear, and I won't be talking over her because that's what I do. It's just the phone line. It's just technology. It's just so frustrating. So it's great that we figured it out, and I'm glad, so glad to have you here with me this morning. Mary, you were telling us about your experience with the March for Life, and your mom was talking about how sexy your dad was, I think you said.
Oh, yeah. Well, somebody had asked her, you know, so you have children. And she said, yes, I had 8 children. And they said, why did you have so many children? And she said, well, when you love your husband, you name your love, which she had heard several times from a deacon friend, Deacon Marks, here in the Arlington Diocese. And she loved that saying. So every time she talks about it now, that's what she says. And then she went on to talk about how hot my dad was. And I thought, I'm going to die 50 million deaths right here. My dad's gone for 15 years. And so I'm like, really, Mom? No, just, I don't care how old you are. You just know. We do not need to discuss this, like, ever.
Oh, my gosh. That's so
cute. I was marching with her. And, you know, so it was a great experience to be with her because, of course, I had been with her so many times on this march. And there were... It was a much larger march than obviously last year, especially because of the weather, but also because of the change in administration and people seem hopeful now. So it was really quite an awesome day.
I get a little overwhelmed in crowds. And in 2013, I went to World Youth Day and we were amongst about a couple million people and we were on Copacabana Beach. It was time to get off. We got the wrong directions from somebody and we were literally being crushed. And so now I have serious crowd anxiety. So in the middle of the crowds, I was started to pray. I'm like, Lord, I just need a little comfort here. And my comfort, God sends me comfort in the form of a butterfly, not a squirrel. People, I know it's kind of hard to believe, but people might be surprised at that. But in a butterfly. And then the guy behind me out of nowhere, Mary, he says, hey, that looks like a butterfly wing. It was crazy.
Oh, there you go.
Suddenly I just got like that calm and bug among me, but it was my first time there. So I didn't know what to expect. And
oh, it was your first March?
It was my first March. My husband is gone. My kids have gone, but I have just never, and I'd like to bring faith. I'm an adoptive mom and I'd love to bring faith someday, but she's still only 11 and I'm not brave enough to bring her.
Right. Well, you know, we would bring Courtney. Obviously she wouldn't run away from us being in a wheelchair, and Jonathan went, I think he went, you know, all the way through high school. Wow. Some as a youngster, he would come with us, but you know, it's not for everyone to do.
Yeah.
It is just one day in the battle. So, you know, there are other opportunities to be a witness to life. And I know that I have found, you know, however you live your life is your witness to life. Beautiful. So even though you might never pick up a poster in March, your life is a witness to your, you know, what you believe and the dignity of the human person. So, and how you behave and how you interact with the world. So, you know, yes, beautiful. We want to march, of course. And especially after the week before had been such a very different march in DC, mm-hmm. And one that was not for life. So you want your voice counted. You want to be present in the political conversation that's going to guide our nation, you know, and we wanted to bring it. I know for us, there are many opportunities along the march when you're marching with seminarians and monks and nuns.
Mm. It's nice
to pray, you know, I mean, I think I pray, I don't know how many rosaries we prayed, but you know, as you're walking through these streets where, you know, our political leaders walk every single day. So it's just a wonderful opportunity to be a witness and to pray and to sort of be encouraged in that march and be encouraged in the message, but it's certainly not the only way to help. And it's not the be all and end all. It shouldn't be that you just show up to march and then that's all you do. So.
And I like that it's not just about, you know, anti-abortion, though quite obviously that's quite a big part of the message because that's about life. But it's also about I spent yesterday with two 92-year-olds, bringing them communion and, you know, just watching them. You know, one of them is very sick and her husband just passed away like less than a year ago. And she's sad and she misses him. But, you know, just to see, she said, but this is in God's hands and it is his plan and not mine. And I sometimes, she said, I question why I'm still here, but I don't question him.
Right.
Wow.
But like, see, isn't that, listen to the beauty of that statement. I question as to why I'm here because, you know, it's not for us to understand all the time, but I don't question God and his plan. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me very much of how we lived our life with our daughter, Courtney. I questioned a lot of the times why something might be happening, mm-hmm. but I never, after we had sort of our moment in Lord's and we knew, we heard our daughter's voice say to us, you know, I got this. I know what I'm here for. You're my hands and my feet. And once we kind of had come to that place, at that point, I wasn't mad at God. I didn't rail at God. I didn't say, you know, why? I knew why. She had a job to do. Everybody, you know, every life is precious. Every life is unique. And it doesn't matter what we can do and what we can't do. Each of us has a job to do here. And Courtney's job was to be a witness to love people, to draw them into her presence and to love them as best she could and to receive their love. You know, she could, as I said, in, you know, 2 years ago on the last time I was visiting your show, there was nothing she could do to earn our love. Well, there's nothing that we can do to earn God's love. He just loves us. Yeah. He's in, you know, he loves us for the sake of love, to be in relationship with him. He created us to be in relationship with him. So, Yeah, the March for Life is just another opportunity on a very large scale to publicly declare that you stand for life. And that's all life, no matter yes. if it's in a wheelchair, no matter if it's at the end of life. You know, we have a new battlefront here in the life issue, and that is euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide, which is now legal in 8 states and the District of Columbia. Yes. So, I mean, this is a whole new ballgame.
It was just reintroduced here in Massachusetts. It was defeated 5 years ago, and we knew it would be back,
right.
And it's back again. And, you know, my daughter is adopted. She is deaf. She's from China. She was abandoned. And, you know, that idea that because she was, I mean, her parents kept her for almost 9 months, and it had to be at that point when they recognized, oh no, she can't hear. And to think she's useless to us now, I can't even imagine the heartbreak of that mother, how yeah. bonded and how in love and probably, you know, beyond her control was giving her up. I mean, because obviously she's attached so quickly to us that, you know, she was greatly loved. You know that she was well taken care of, but to have that mentality that you're broken in some way, therefore you're useless to us, and discard her. And how blessed are we that we were able to become her parents. Like I never think of her as my adopted daughter, Faith. I think of her as my daughter, Faith.
Well, she is your daughter, Faith.
Exactly. People say, oh, you know, do you have any real children? That always drives me nuts. Like, I wouldn't know. This one was made out of plastic.
What an interesting way to phrase it, too. Do you have any real children? Well, yes, she's a real child. Yeah. We're not talking Pinocchio here. She's not a little wooden girl. But no, I do understand. I understand that sentiment completely, because we had many people ask us with our own daughter's life later, you know, as she was getting older, well, gosh, you were so brave to choose life for her. Well, what they didn't know was Courtney was born perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't until she was 5 weeks old that the seizures began. But I would take that opportunity to say, it doesn't matter how she would have come to us.
Mm-hmm.
We would have loved her and cared for her as best we could. So I, you know, until we recognize that the child in the womb is a child and has rights as a human, then this issue of abortion is not going to go away. And that's where the battle is. The battle is, we recognize as Catholics that life begins at conception to natural death. And I have now had the full experience with my daughter where we had to, in our own way, fight for a natural death. You know, when we were meeting with some of the hospice people the last 3 months of her life, the first question 3 different companies asked us was, when would you like to start the morphine?
Oh my gosh.
Well, wow. Courtney didn't need morphine. She wasn't in pain. So why would you even bring that up? Well, what morphine does is it you know, obviously it does help people with pain, and that is a wonderful, beautiful thing. But it also can put some stress in the heart, and it can hasten, in some instances, death. And that's not what we wanted. So
no,
we fought for her to have a natural death in God's timing alone. And praise God, he honored that and protected us. And she did. She had a beautiful death. Oh. And without pain, without drama, she died in my arms and simply exhaled. And I know the minute that she closed her eyes here on earth, she opened them and ran straight into God's arms because her job was done. She had done what he had asked her to do.
One of the most powerful messages I received after that experience in World Youth Day, I was in Mass the next day, and I suffered from great anxiety. And I'm like, Lord, why did you do that? Why did you put me through that? I could have died. And I remember him saying so clearly in my heart, death is not a punishment. Death is a reward.
Yeah.
And I had never thought of it that way, you know, so fearful of the unknown, so fearful. And he's like, where is your hope? Your hope is supposed to be in me. Where is your faith? Oh, you of little faith. That seems to be I should have that tattooed on my face. You of little faith. We're talking this morning to Mary Lindeberg, who is not of little faith. Who's of great faith. You can read more at marylindeberg.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about Mary's new ministry. Such an exciting so exciting. Just go with that. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. If you'd like to join the conversation, we invite you at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. I'm converting today with Mary Linneberg. Is that how you say that? Not conversing, I suppose. I'm not converting. We both, you know, we're pretty much
Catholics.
There.
Where are we converting to? Okay.
I'm a revert. I don't know about you, but I was born
I'm
Catholic.
I'm a cradle Catholic.
Yeah. Did you always stay faithful? Like, I went away for a while. That's why I called myself a revert, because I went away and then came back.
Well, there was in my early marriage, my college years and my early marriage, I still went to church every Sunday. I just wasn't practicing in my life as well as I should have. Yeah. But the guilt was there enough with my mother and father that I put my butt in the seat every Sunday.
Funny.
There was at least probably a time where I went maybe a year or two or three without confession, which was horrible. But, you know, that confession after that time was one of the best experiences of my life.
I don't know about you, but I was a confession chicken, like petrified to go to confession. And now I honestly can't imagine my life without, I just went this Monday. And, you know, usually people avoid their pastor. They're like, oh, I got to find somebody who doesn't know who I am. And I kind of try to do that as well, but I had no choice. Like, I had to get there. I was a mess. I can feel it. I just feel heavier. Yeah. And he has it Monday and Tuesday evenings, and not many parishes do that. He's such a rock star. So I went, and it was like the best confession ever. You know, like, you know, sometimes you think you're going to go and get chastised for these things that you think are so horrible. And he actually made me cry because he gave me such affirmation that, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm not the most compassionate person. And he just really pointed out the places that I am compassionate and kind of gave me a little pass to be a little easier on myself and, you know, not letting me off the hook. Like, you know, you got to be careful. Yes, you still need to be compassionate. And most of my sins are not what I do, but what I fail to do.
Right, right. Well, see, I mean, isn't that what Satan wants for us? He wants us to stay in a sense of confusion, and he wants us to be in this place where we feel shame and we feel discouragement and we are afraid, you know, we have fear in our heart to go to confession and confess our sins. But what really helped me, I used to be one of those people, like my hands would shake. I would feel the sweat roll down my back and I'm, you know, you're standing and you're like, oh, I really don't want to do this. But there's a psalm, I think it's Psalm 129. I really hope I got that right, where, you know, David is saying to our Lord, you formed me. You knew who I was. I try so hard to hide from you, but you see everything. So once I kind of got my mind around that, like, I don't know who I'm hiding from. I mean, you know, God can see everything I'm doing, good, bad, ugly, great, awesome. Mm-hmm. And he just wants us to be in relationship with him. He just wants us to see ourselves as he sees us, which is perfect and beautiful. And, you know, when we make those mistakes, then we repair the relationship with him. That's what, you know, and with confession, that's what I do. I bring that relationship back into right alignment. And I really want that relationship to be in right alignment, especially the older I get. I really feel this sort of, I don't know, compression almost on my heart to make sure that I am in as close to a state of grace as I can be. You know, and it's hard.
It is hard. You know, and he gives us all these tools. It was Psalm 139, by the way.
139. See, I was off by 10.
It's okay. We're Catholic. We don't know the Bible. Just kidding.
Trying.
I know. Like I do that a lot. I know the verse. I just don't know what the, I don't know the address. I don't know how to get you there. I just know where it is.
Right. Like, right.
I know what it is. I still don't know how to get you there, but it's like fearfully and wonderfully made. And the thing about the Psalms written by King David, you know, he was a great sinner. Like he lusted after this woman, like he took her and then he has her husband killed. So he like, hello, I haven't done any of that stuff.
And I know.
And God still said, this is a man after my own heart, because he could sin like nobody else. But he also, David, could be contrite like nobody else. He exactly. could be sorry like nobody else. And
well, you Psalm think 51, of, you think of St. Augustine, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. That man had kids outside of marriage and chased everything with a skirt for decades. And yet one of the most beautiful things he said when he came back into a relationship with the Lord was, our soul is restless until it rests in you.
Yeah, he's, I used to think he said, give me holiness, but not yet. But he actually said, give me chastity, but not yet. But did he said to the Lord, give me chastity, but not yet.
I'm not quite ready. Isn't it great how the Lord waits for us to be?
Yes. He's yes, so it is. He is. He's so good. So there's a couple things I want to just talk with you about, too. Like, I see now that you write for Blessed is She. I love Blessed is She. It's actually from one of my favorite lines in all of Scripture. Blessed is she who believed what has been told will be fulfilled. So Blessed is She. Tell us a little bit about that, that website and what you're writing over there.
Well, it's a beautiful online ministry that we're trying to get off. Well, stay online, but also move into parishes with small groups. That's the goal of the ministry, which would be great to take people that you are in relationship with online and meet them in real life. So Blessed is She was started by Jenna Gizar. I think it's 2 years ago now, two and a half, maybe. I'm not quite sure. But it's we have we call it a stable of writers. That's not very flattering, but we have a group of women, 40 plus women who write daily devotionals. So you take the mass readings of the day and we get them like 3 months before you see them on the website. So it's interesting how we all write to that daily reading or whoever is the saint of the day or however we choose to assimilate that information. And then we see it 2 or 3 months later and you're like, wow, because your life is in a different place and yet it still speaks to you. So we write these daily devotionals. We also have a blog where we write about issues in the culture from a Catholic perspective. We have these beautiful journals, scripture journals, and we had one for Advent and we have one coming up for Lent. And our theme for Lent is called Put On Love, and it's from scripture. And the very talented Elizabeth Voss has written that scripture journal for us.
Wow, and I love
daily
her.
She's awesome, isn't she? I have the great privilege of knowing her in real life. So
No way. I'm just a fangirl.
Yeah, she lives locally, so I've known her for gosh, 18 years.
That's cool.
But anyway, so she's awesome and very gifted with the word. And so she's written this beautiful journal and it's a beautiful piece of art that you get to write in. And we have them available at, of course, blessedisshe.net. And we have other art available. We have, you know, a great coffee mug that says Put On Love that's beautifully done. Nice. Erica Tai is our art director. And so she does some beautiful work. But Blessed is She is all about creating community with like-minded people, receiving support within the Catholic community. You know, we used to walk outside and our neighbor would be putting out their laundry and you would be putting out your laundry and you chat. Well, in today's world, that's not necessarily how it happens. So this kind of gives women an opportunity to sort of build each other up and support one another and encourage one another in their walk with Christ. So I'm very privileged and humbled to be a part of the ministry. And we have two Blessed is She retreats that are going on. One is going to be in March in Phoenix, Arizona, and the other one in April in Austin, Texas. So it goes nice. Throughout the United States. We're trying to be one here to DC, hopefully in the fall, but you know, those details are always so challenging sometimes.
Yes. It is.
To find a space that'll fit the amount of people you want and all of that sort of thing. So, but yeah, so I am quite honored to be a part of that ministry, and it dovetails beautifully into where God is calling me now into this larger adventure of being in ministry full time. So.
And it is an adventure, I have to tell you. Actually, I kept getting all these LinkedIn messages. Congratulations on your anniversary. I'm like, what anniversary? I'm like, what job have I been at? And I realized it was because I started Reconciled to You Ministries 8 years ago. It's unbelievable when I think about how fast time has flown. And, you know, I was a paralegal who became a child care provider. I owned my own preschool. I was teaching in a college. And then the Lord said, those are all good and they taught you a great skills, but here's what I really want you to do. I'm like, yes, Lord, but people don't pay for that. Like, we have to eat. And just that stepping out of faith, he's like, trust me and I will provide. And he has. When we when I was looking at their talks that you're giving, and we're gonna go to commercial in just a few minutes, Mary, I wanna come back. I wanna talk about trusting in God's plan, because I think that for me was probably the greatest gift the Lord gave me in stepping out and going into full-time ministry. But it's not just people who go into talking about God as a career that need to trust in God's plan. That's pretty universal to every single person, whether it is career or family. You know, you're trusting in the Lord's plan for Courtney and your family. There's always something, and trust is so incredibly difficult to come by. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Mary Linneberg. She's my guest today. You can visit her website, marylinneberg.com. It's beautifully done. So I really, really love the new layout. I loved your old website too, but this one is very, I spent a good amount of time on it. I was just drawn in further and further.
Thank you.
I love your writing. Anyway, you have such a great sense of humor. You know, you're so real, and the Lord is truly working in you in great ways. But we're not done with Mary yet, so don't go away. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Mary Linneberg. MaryLinneberg.com for her blog, her writing, her speaking schedule, and all the wonderful new speaking options that she has. I was like looking at all of them this morning and thinking, oh, I want to go to that one and that one. How can I get you to come and do this one? But I noticed that there is a couple of common links between them. I saw a lot of trust and I saw a lot of joy. We'll get to the joy in a minute, but let's talk a little bit about the trust. Actually, you have this beautiful equation. We can just put them both together, and I'll let you go after I say this equation, Mary. It's all you. Acceptance plus trust equals unimaginable joy.
Yep. And that's absolutely true. You know, there are many lessons our daughter taught us during her time here on Earth. Mm-hmm. And if I could sum it all up in one equation, it would be that once you accept where God needs you to be, once you accept his authority in your life and the fact that he wants to work everything to his good, everything to your good, you know, in Romans, it says God works all things to the good of those who love him. So, you know, he wants the very best for you. So once we accept that he wants the very best for us, that equals, you know, that the next step is to trust that he's going to provide everything that needs to be provided for you to do what he needs you to do. So, for instance, my husband and I are constantly having a conversation about God's provision for our family, his financial provision for our family. And, you know, I was working for a year for the church. I was receiving a paycheck every 2 weeks for the first time in 25, 6 years of marriage. And it was lovely. You know, we still have some debt from our daughter, so which I don't regret a moment or a dollar spent on saving a child's life. So I joyfully did that. And then God kind of spoke to my heart during a retreat out in Oregon last summer. And I was in silence for pretty much 2 days straight, which is like a miracle of gargantuan proportion. So when you sit in silence and you work through all the freakazoid things in your head and you get to that conversation with God, you know, he tells you things like, Mary, are you ready to listen to me? Are you ready to work with me here? I'm trying to give you the desires of your heart and what I made you to do. So how about we stop messing around and we like get together and you work for me. You speak for me and you know, I will provide everything else you need. Mm-hmm. So the first step of trust in this new adventure was I had to come home and I had to tell my pastor who was, you know, forget my husband. We're going to set him aside.
I thought you were going to go to Jerry and you didn't. No, you went right to the priest.
I did, because he had been my spiritual director for 7 years before I took this job. He was no longer my spiritual director because I worked for him and that's not a good combo ever. So I had to go to him and say, well, by the way, you know how I said I would do this for 3 to 5 years? Well, maybe a year is good enough. And then I came home after, you know, and the funny thing is his first answer was, you know, he asked me, he's like, well, why do you think you need to leave? And I told him what happened in my conversation with the Lord. And he hugged me and he said, well, God told you to leave, so you better go. And I was like, all right. So then I went home and I looked at my husband. Now, mind you, his response was not that crisp. And everything he brought up was, you know, how are we going to pay this bill? Yes. And how are we going to do this? And, but Mary, we're finally getting to the point where, you know, we're not in the hole at the end of the month and we're actually like making progress on our debt and reduction. And, you know, with you working, it would have only taken 3 to 5 years to be out of debt. Now you're telling me you're never going to be out of debt. All of these things that, you know, and I said to him, I said, listen, I said, like I told Father, I said, I will lay it at the foot of the cross for the next 7 days, 7 to 9 days. We pray a novena. And at the end of that, you know, I think God's going to really work this all out. And so he did. I mean, at the end of that 9 days, I had 3 or 4 speaking, gigs set up that, you know, were actual paid speaking gigs, which it's not a lot of money, but it pays the bill. And, you know, I had a friend come forward and assist me to get together a new website. Father was great at work. You know, and he was like, give me 30 days. So I gave him 30 days. And it just kind of all worked out. And it doesn't mean that it hasn't been easy. It's not been a cakewalk. Yeah. That trust and that offering up of your life to the Lord is a constant conversation. It's a constant decision. It's every single day. It's every single day to say, okay, Lord, this is my need today. First, I love you. I praise you. I honor you. You know, we always bring our praise before we bring our need. And here's my need today. We're going to have to pay XYZ and for this, and this is XYZ that we have. And, you know, we've whittled everything down in our budget to very, very minimalist living. And can you show me where I can whittle down more? Can you show me where I can, receive, what we need to cover XYZ. And for example, with my father-in-law's death recently, we had just gone out to Oklahoma. You know, we're a paycheck to paycheck family, like most people in the United States.
With you there.
And so our cash is very limited. And so we had saved and we went out to Oklahoma to see my father-in-law before he passed away, because my husband, you know, he needed to see his dad. So we drove out in 21 hours straight to Oklahoma, spent beautiful 3 or 4 days with him. He had woken up, he had had a massive heart attack, he had been intubated. They took the tubes out on Christmas Day. It was a Christmas miracle. Wow. All of these beautiful things were happening. I was so grateful we could go. And then we came home. Well, we had used all of our resources that were available to us for that trip. We did not do Christmas. Nobody exchanged gifts. Nobody bought gifts. I didn't bake. We didn't have a big meal. I mean, that was our gift. Wow. That was everything went to that. So on Christmas Day, they take out the tubes, and the first thing he says is to my mother-in-law, "I love you." And everyone was in tears, and he was talking to his three children, and it was beautiful. Well, we leave the next day because my husband was out of leave at work. He's only been in this new position for about a year, so he's very limited time off. Yeah. And we come home. It takes us 2 days, again, using those resources as frugally as possible. We walk in the door, and it's the 27th of December. It's the day of Courtney's death 2 years later. And we get a call that he's in cardiac arrest again, and we're losing him. Mm-hmm. And so we had to then turn around and go back to Oklahoma to bury him. Well, we had nothing to do that with. And mm-hmm. so when I took that to prayer that night, and I was crying, and of course, it's the second anniversary of our daughter's death. My husband has lost his father. He was 85 years old, lived a beautiful, wonderful, very service-filled life. And my mother-in-law was in the hospital. They had been married for 61 years. She was dealing with medical issues. And pardon me, the coffers were empty. We don't have a lot of credit because we're trying to pay that off from when we were with me. So there was no place to go. You know, I had no idea how we were going to get back to Oklahoma. Well, God was very generous and kind, and I received three different messages from some of my writing friends within 12 hours. And every single one of them said the exact same thing. When Courtney was alive and we would have a financial need, I would bring it to my readers and I would say, this is exactly what we need. God has said to bring it to you, and I'm going to leave it here. And if you so feel moved, then you can help us. If not, please pray. And no judgment. No, it was humiliating. Right. It's humiliating to say to people, guess what? I can't do this for myself. Yep. It's a humbling, a very deep humbling. And here we are 2 years after Courtney's death. We had no need to do that because our needs were being met and we were working our butts off to do what we needed to do. And here God lays us out in front of him and says, go ask.
Wow.
And I thought, man, weren't we done with that? I don't want these people are going to think we're just horrible. You know, I mean, all of the things you build up in your brain. Well, I put it up on 8 o'clock on a Monday, whatever day of the week it was. Walked away from the computer, came back, I think 5-6 hours later. And not only was our need met, but it was exceeded. And we were able to fly back to Oklahoma, bury my wow. father-in-law, and take care of the three bills that we pay every month on these credit issues with our daughter's debt. We were able to make those three payments. He's so very, very good. And I know that's not the answer to every question, but for us in that moment, that's what he said to do. And we trusted, we overcame the humiliation of humbling ourselves before people yet again and receiving judgment, which can come positively and negatively. And he answered that need. And that's the same way it is in speaking engagements, writing engagements. I bring it before the Lord and I say, okay, God, where do you want me? What do you want me to say? What do these women or these men or this congregation, what do they need to hear from you? And how is it that I can be your conduit in this? And so when you have acceptance plus trust in the Lord, what happens after that is just utterly awesome and amazing. Mm-hmm. And you cannot be anything but joyful in walking that path because you know he walks it with you.
You know, Mary, as you're talking, I was thinking about, you know, not everybody's called to leave, you know, a job to go into ministry, but a lot of people are called to leave their career to become a stay-at-home mom. And I know I struggled with that. It was to leave that, the comfort of that, you know, not everybody also has the ability to, but I think we do have that ability to trust the Lord. If your heart feels called to stay home with your child, then he's going to provide in it. You might have to eat more macaroni and cheese and ramen noodles than you want, but you know what?
That works for me.
That's what you know, I never regretted being home with my kids. I regret the debt that I accumulated a little tiny bit, but I said I'd never do it. I wouldn't do anything differently because that was time that was precious to me. I'm sure you feel the same way. You said it just a minute ago about you and your daughter. Mary Lindeberg, oh my goodness, we're done. Thank you so much for being with me this morning.
Oh, it's such an honor and a joy to be with you. Thank you for asking me.
Will you come back again?
Always, you know it.
Awesome. We've been talking to Mary Lindeberg, marylindeberg.com. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.